In the morning, Beleg, being swiftly healed of his pains, after the manner of the elven folk of old, spoke to Turin apart. "I looked for more joy at my tidings," he said. "Surely you will return now to Doriath." And he begged Turin to do this in all ways that he could. But the more he urged it, the more Turin hung back. Nonetheless, he questioned Beleg closely concerning the judgment of Thingol. Then Beleg told him all that he knew, and at the last Turin said, "Then Mablung proved my friend as he once seemed." "The friend of truth, rather," said Beleg, "and that was best in the end, though the doom would have been less just were it not for the witness of Nelas." Why, Turin, did you not speak of Syros's assault to Mablung? All otherwise might things have gone. And," he said, looking at the men sprawled near the mouth of the cave, "you might have held your helm still high and not fallen to this." "That may be, if fall you call it," said Turin. "That may be. But so it went, and words stuck in my throat. There was reproof in his eyes, without question asked of me, for a deed I had not done. My man's heart was proud, as the Elf King said. And so it still is, Beleg Cuthalion. Not yet will it suffer me to go back to Menegroth and bear looks of pity and pardon, as for a wayward boy amended. I should give pardon, not receive it. And I am a boy no longer, but a man according to my kind, and a hard man by my fate." Then Beleg was troubled. "What will you do then?" he asked. "Fare free," said Turin. "That wish Mablung gave me at our parting. The grace of Thingol will not stretch to receive these companions of my fall, I think. But I will not part with them now, if they do not wish to part with me. I love them in my way, even the worst, a little. They are of my own kind, and there is some good in each that might grow. I think that they will stand by me." "You see with other eyes than mine," said Beleg. "If you try to wean them from evil, they will fail you. I doubt them, and one most of all." "How shall an elf judge of men?" said Turin. "As he judges of all deeds, by whomsoever done," answered Beleg. But he said no more, and did not speak of Undrog's malice, to which his evil handling had been chiefly due. For perceiving Turin's mood, he feared to be disbelieved and to hurt their old friendship, driving Turin back to his evil ways. "Fare free, you say, Turin, my friend," he said. "What is your meaning?" "I would lead my own men and make war in my own way," Turin answered. "But in this at least my heart is changed. I repent every stroke, save those dealt against the enemy of men and elves. And above all else, I would have you beside me. Stay with me." "If I stayed beside you, love would lead me, not wisdom," said Beleg. "My heart warns me that we should return to Doriath. Elsewhere, a shadow lies before us." "Nonetheless, I will not go there," said Turin. "Alas," said Beleg. "But as a fond father who grants his son's desire against his own foresight, I yield to your will. At your asking, I will stay." "That is well indeed," said Turin. Then all at once he fell silent, as if he himself were aware of the shadow, and strove with his pride, which would not let him turn back. For a long while he sat, brooding on the years that lay behind.